Worship folders note this morning's reading as Luke 24. I will instead be reading the Ascension story from Acts. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So there are two accounts of the Ascension in the Bible. One is in Luke and one is in Acts. And we think the books were written by the same people. If you're interested in the Luke version, you can totally look it up. It is in Luke chapter 24. The Acts version has a little more going on, so it's a little more fun for preachers. Here we go. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that God has set with authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into the heavens, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. These are our sacred stories. At our house, we've been doing some grounding exercises. These are sometimes called anchoring or centering. They're techniques to bring oneself back to the present. For example, if you are anxious or worried or reeling, you can run water over your hands or splash water on your face. You can hold an ice cube. You can tap out a rhythm. You can touch your bare feet to the ground. There are more, but these are the ones that we like. Our favorite is called 3-2-1 Go. For this, you simply name out loud three things you can see, two things you can touch, and one thing you can hear. So try it. 3-2-1 Go. Really, try it. Three things you can see, two things you can touch, one thing you can hear. Go. So you should be feeling more centered, more grounded. I recommend this or any other grounding exercise as a way to help yourself if you're feeling overwhelmed or cycling through a worry on an endless loop or future tripping or past guilting. It's like meditation, only instead of bringing you back to your breath, it brings you back to your life, to this moment. It is perhaps strange to talk about grounding or anchoring on Ascension Sunday. But it's only Jesus in the story who defies gravity. The disciples are left on the earth, feet firmly planted on the ground. This Ascension Sunday, let's join the disciples. Let's trudge upward until we reach the summit, following Jesus, following as we have done for years, venturing from town to town. At the top of the mountain, we stop, our breathing labored from the climb, and we watch Jesus, rise again. The same resurrected Jesus who rose to recognition in the breaking of the bread, who rose early to cook breakfast, who rose into locked rooms offering peace. This same Jesus is rising again, and we stand still, staring, amazed, mouths slack, watching until the last glimmer disappears in the sunset sky. We keep standing, keep looking, fixed on the spot where our eyes lost sight of Jesus in the deepening purple of evening. We stand looking, searching, wondering, where do we go from here? And we begin to worry. What now? How will we know where to go? How will we know what to do? We are reeling, spinning, anxiously peering into an unknown future. What has kept us grounded has flown away. Our anchor has lost its hold. Our panic is interrupted by two men in white robes who ask, "Why do you stand looking up?" Why indeed? 3, 2, 1, go. We see the other disciples. We see the evening sky. We see the ground. We can touch hands. We can touch earth. We hear the question, why do you stand looking up? Grounded, centered, present, we look down and see the same feet that have gotten us this far, that have carried us from town to town, preaching and healing and seeing what others have ignored, welcoming the others who have been cast off. We look down, we see our feet. We know what will get us there, but we don't know where to go. We've been following Jesus. From ashes you have come, and this is my body. From he is not here, he is risen, and woman, why are you crying? And peace be with you. But now Jesus is not visible to our eyes any longer. We cannot help it, we gaze toward the heavens once more. We tend to think of the things of God as elevated. We lift our eyes toward heaven in exasperation and plea and praise and in confusion. And yet so much of the story of Jesus is about coming down, down into our flesh, into our poverty, into our earthiness. Perhaps the message of Jesus from the manger to the cross, from the tomb to this mount of ascension, is that this world is changed, not from the top, but from the bottom, not from the heavens, but from the earth. For all the wanting of a mighty Messiah, he arrives as an infant refugee. Instead of a powerful ruler, he travels as a homeless teacher, preferring prostitutes and sinners over the landed gentry of respectable society. He carries not only the wounds in his hands and side, but the wounds of all those beaten down, cast out, despised. Truly, he has borne our sorrows. Even as he rises, we hear him tell us to keep our eyes fixed on this earth, to head back down the mountain to the places where he made his life. It seems to me that Jesus comes again and again and again, and each time he comes the way he came before. If we want to see Jesus, the realm of God, looking up to heaven won't open our eyes. Instead, we should search for the nearest manger. We should take note of those who struggle for their daily bread. We should look at ourselves and each other, at the cracks and crevices of our world. Easter Sunday, Eastertide, Ascension. These storied weeks come to our anxiety and our overwhelm and call us to be present. To be present with love that never dies. The cross is not the end of these stories. You won't find Jesus in the land of the dead. He's still with us. The powers killed him, but they couldn't stop him. They crucified him and buried him in a tomb. The imperial execution and tomb couldn't hold him. Jesus is loose in the world. This is the story of Easter. To reduce this to forced belief in a spectacular miracle or a hope for an afterlife in heaven is to diminish it and domesticate it. It's not about believing in a bodily resurrection or some future heaven. It's about the transformation of this world, here and now. Hope for new life in the present moment. Jesus was killed because of his passion for a realm of peace and justice, a realm that is always arriving as we, anchored to the present, work to create it. Ascension, the last chapter of Eastertide, must be about more than Jesus' defiance of gravity. Luke 17, 19 through 21 reads, "Once Jesus was asked by the religious leaders when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you.'" Maybe the story of ascension can be for us a way of seeing the ground beneath our feet once more, a way of seeing each other once more, a way of knowing the kingdom of God among us anew. Not by constantly looking up, but rather by looking at our own feet, our own hearts, by looking at our neighbors. This looking is not to be done in judgment, but with compassion and welcome. We cannot do the work that must be done if we're caught in our own worry, our own anxiety. We need to be grounded. We need to be present so that we can do the work that is ours to do in this time and this place. When faced with the devastation Hitler wrought, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The body of Christ takes up space on the earth. Incarnate Christ needs not only ears or hearts, but living people who will follow him." Jesus' body, no longer present, becomes the body of Christ and takes up space on the earth, our space on our earth in this present moment. The ascension story lets us know that we do not need Jesus' body to follow, to be the body of Christ. The journey has not ended. In many ways, it is just beginning, and we are not alone. The question of ascension, why are you looking up toward heaven, is in essence the question of Easter Sunday. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Instead of craning our necks toward heaven, let's turn our gaze to the needs of here and now, in our lives, in our church, in our neighborhood. Instead of looking for the living among the dead, let's look for the life that surrounds us and decide to be part of it. Why are you looking up toward heaven? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? These stories show us, tell us, write on our hearts that hope is here. Hope is now. Hope is creating the realm of God on this earth with our hands and our feet and our voices and our lives. Three, two, one, go. I see you, each of you. I see this beautiful sanctuary. I see the world outside this window. I can touch this pulpit. I can touch the ground beneath me. I hear the whisper, follow thou me. Amen.